Good evening, everyone. Let the record indicate it is now 5:01 PM and the Warwick City Council Finance Committee is called to order. First order of business is approval of the Finance Committee agenda minutes.
Move favorable action.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. The second item is approval of the minutes on the consent calendar. Need a motion, please?
Favorable action.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. First item. Item number one, 2026-033, found on page one. State Street Water Pump Station Improvements. Go ahead, Chrissy.
Good evening. Chrissy Moretti, Public Works. The Water Division is requesting to award the bid for the State Street Water Pump Improvements to Hart Engineering in the amount of $2,400,000 from budget code 84799.
So Christy, obviously you're presenting for the Water Department?
Yes.
Okay. Is there any reason?
It's their division of Public Works, so.
There's what, please?
They are a division of Public Works, so on occasion we do handle their items.
Okay. All right. Do we have any questions from members of the committee? Councilman Muto.
Hi, Christy.
Good evening.
A couple of questions on this particular bid and also working with this particular company. When we look at the cost of $2.4 million, we have a contingency or an allowance component, which is pretty typical in most of these types of projects. How is projects like this, who is the project manager and what type of cost controls do they have to make sure we stay within the budgets?
The Water Division has an infrastructure program manager that will oversee, along Beta will also oversee, but he'll oversee the project to make sure that things are progressing as they should. Make sure there's no cost overruns, or if they run into any sort of problem, they'll present it to him first, who will then bring it to the division chief, and make the decision from there what the next step should be.
Okay. And is that person on staff with the city?
Yes.
Okay. And if something does go awry, when it's notified to the rightful people in the chain, is any alerts come to the council with anything that's potentially over budget or under budget?
The only time that we would, if it was a budget issue where it was going to increase the cost of the bid, then yes, it would come before the council for approval. But if it falls within the awarded amount of $2.4 million, then no, okay. We would just proceed as normal.
What do we do if the contingency or the overage, it doesn't come in at 2.4? Where does that money go?
I'm sorry, where does what?
The allowance of 50,000 in this case. I'm just trying to figure out if we come under budget, where does that money go?
The money doesn't go anywhere. It just won't be expended out of the 84799 line item. So when the invoices come in, if they don't use that utility relocation allowance, the $50,000 will stay in 84799. It just won't be expended.
Okay. And Hart Engineering, what type of experience has the city had with Hart Engineering with their reliability as far as project management execution?
I don't know specifically that we've used this vendor previously on projects such as this, but I think in my memory, this is the first time we've had something done to one of the pumping stations as well for an upgrade. So, and I couldn't say if another department used them, like if the sewer department used them, that I wouldn't have that information.
Okay. Could we follow up with that information? Just in general, this is the first budget that myself and three other new people own. We're keeping a very close eye on it, and you'll see by most of our questions this evening that we really want to keep an eye on our budget and our expenses this year, quite frankly, just because we've had one of the highest tax increases for the city in a long, long time, as well as some most likely unexpected expenses as an enterprise coming forward. So a lot of our questions and a lot of our concerns will be around the need versus the want, and also the quality and delivery and the management and financial capacity of the companies we work with. So I just want to, that'll be a general statement through about 12 items on this list tonight. And I'll speak for myself. I won't speak for the rest of the council, but we do go out drinking and we do talk. So that seems to be the typical. Oh, you don't drink, Councilman? No, okay. Anyways, thank you.
Wow. Thank you, Councilman Muto.
So what happens when you don't have a life? Do some homework.
I happen to concur with your comments as well. Christy, in this presentation, or in the bid, I should say, it says, this is from James Monroe, the VP and of Hart Engineering. And he says that the lump sum price for allowances is for comparison of bids only. Actual payment shall be in accordance with section 01020 allowances. I don't find anything in my bid package that identifies what section 01020 and allowances is. What is that?
So that basically what you don't have is the entire bid for the project. So that that statement about the lump sum price is part of the bid package that was put in by the department. So what it's referring to in that section is part of the, excuse me, the whole bid that was advertised.
But isn't section 01020 a separate section of the entire bid?
So that it refers to that section. And if you look the under allowances, the asterisk is next to the number one. So it refers to that piece of the utility relocation allowance. But the section that it is speaking about is a section within the bid document that was advertised.
Could you just give us the Reader's Digest version of what that 01020 allowances means?
I can grab my phone and pull up the bid document if you'd like. Just give me 1 second.
It always concerns me when it says that something, an actual payment, shall be in accordance with. It always concerns me when I see a line item like that, especially if I don't know what that means. We'll wait.
Just give me 1 second and I will. That's what it's referring to. I just need to find it. Hmm. Okay. So there's, ooh, so the section, yeah, oh, at the top one. So it's 01, so it's going to be further up. 01, 020, yep. You can search in the PDF.
O1, 020.
And I'll hit it. Okay. So in the bid, in the bid document, under allowances, so that you, it's, this is the section you're referring to. Under utility allowance, bid item number 3, it says utility allowance is intended to cover costs associated with the proposed modifications to the sewer, gas, and electric service that may result in additional fees from the utility provider. Number 2 says provide the new electric service as shown on the contract drawings required by Rhode Island Energy or as directed by the engineer. And number 3 says coordinate all work with the respective utility power company or department providing access to the site at the appropriate time to prevent any delay in the work specified to be done under these contract documents. So that, and then under the payment procedures, the lump sum price for allowances is established in the bid forms as an estimated figure to facilitate comparison of bids only. The actual amount to be paid under this item shall constitute full compensation for services rendered. It says the lump sum price for this item shall not include any costs associated with services rendered for routine utility markings, repair damages incurred as a result of the contractor's operations, relocations of utilities done at the contractor's request and or convenience, or any other unauthorized services rendered by utility companies. The purpose of this item is strictly for the contractor's reimbursement for those services authorized by the owner or engineer prior to the work being performed. So that's what that number 3, that piece, that's what that refers to.
So with that said, this allowance, it's pretty much capped at 50,000.
It is at the moment, but if there's any sort of anomaly or anything, obviously the contractor will have to come back to the city and say, hey, you know, we have a quote from, you know, if they have to, something with Rhode Island Energy, or, you know, I'm not familiar with the actual site location, so I don't know what the utilities look like out there. But if there's something that's an anomaly, they would have to come back to us first anyway and see if we are okay with that. If it does happen to increase the award for this bid over the 2.4 million, we would have to come back to council and ask for 612, so to alter the contract and increase the award. But $50,000 is probably, there was a, it was not mandatory, but there was a pre-bid meeting at the site as well. So any vendors that were interested could show up and, you know, review the site and the utilities and everything that's there. So that is also, actually I can tell you if they were there. So Matt Michael from Hart Companies was on site at the pre-bid meeting. So they have an understanding of what the scope of work entails.
So given the information that you have or the department has, you're pretty comfortable with that allowance. And I ask that because we have an issue going on where there was another site inspection that didn't turn up a couple of acres of wetlands. So I just want to feel comfortable that you guys are comfortable in what's there and what we could end up with.
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions from members of the committee? Councilman Napa.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Rennie, I understand my correspondence with Director Earls that there was no contract review done by the city solicitor. I just would suggest moving forward that a contract that's $2.4 million that maybe the attorney on staff should breeze through that and make sure that the contract language is appropriate. I know that's nothing that we're going to, I would suggest to going back on now, but I think it may be prudent to consider moving forward with contracts of these size. But that's all I have.
Also, so Councilman Muto, hearing the information that you requested from Christy, is it your, do you want to move forward with this as you have the information now?
Yeah, I'm fine moving forward. Just like Councilman Napper, it's them learning from us and us learning from those groups that going forward, we're going to be a little more scrutinous on a lot of the things that are going to go on, especially the money that we're going to be spending with our infrastructure. So
okay,
all improvements going forward.
Thank you. Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do you have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, we'll move on to item 2, 2026-092, found on page 8. It's purchase of one auto car side loading refuse vehicle.
Public Works is requesting under a 56-6 to purchase a side loading sanitation vehicle in the amount of $398,976 from Sanitary Equipment. It's a one-time purchase, and it is in the approved capital budget, actually less than what we had estimated.
And how many of these side loading vehicles do you have now?
So we have 17, but we do have a couple that are out of service. Ultimately, we would like to send out 7 trash trucks and 7 for recycling. That would be like a full complement for us on a daily basis. And then also we need to have a couple of spares, when the other trucks are either down for a repair or service. So this would bring us to 18. I think it would give us 2 spares. And then the other, there is, I forget if it's 1 or 2 that are out of service.
And how many new vehicles have we approved or have you purchased in the last 3 years or so?
Oh gosh. I know we purchased 2 of these last year. The year before, I'd hate to give you the wrong answer. I'm not certain. But last year we did purchase 2 of these same vehicles.
Okay. And on these vehicles, when you finally decide that they need to be replaced, approximately how many miles are on these vehicles?
It's well over 200,000.
Well over 200,000.
Yeah. Yeah. And these vehicles obviously do a lot of hard miles, a lot of stop and start, picking up.
They take
up
a beating.
They do. Yes.
Especially in your ward.
And
you can't get good help.
The acoustics in here, as you know, are not so good. And Christy, you still have, and this is information that I think everyone's privy to, you still have some of your vehicles that are kind of reaching, that 200,000 mile mark, and there's still issues with the sanitation vehicles being down, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. This is something that I do support. I think these sanitation vehicles are they're paramount to the services that are provided to the city. I'm glad to hear you say that these vehicles, which take a tremendous amount of abuse and are constantly on the run, sometimes 7 days a week, taking care of the pickups that are needed, and you're running them 200,000 miles. And what's the average age of a vehicle when you feel the need to replace it?
If we were going to go by industry standards, the maximum would be 8 years. We have vehicles that are over that, still on the road.
So industry standards, let's say, is 8 years. That doesn't mean that, you know, this is the drop-dead rule, and because a vehicle hits 8 years old and it only has 100,000 miles on it, that it's got to be replaced. You folks are making these vehicles, which have a tremendous amount of use, you make them last longer, and for the obvious reasons, right? So what's the average age of the vehicles that we have in sanitation?
It's probably about 12 years.
12 years.
Yeah. And we have great mechanics, but, you know, they do get to a point where they just can't be fixed anymore, or, you know, it's unsafe to use.
Sure.
So
after taking a tremendous amount of abuse, after being in service for 12 years, after going 200,000 plus miles. Okay, I'm good with that. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman Napa.
Thank you. I know I peppered you guys with a lot of questions. I'm not sure that I got an answer on these few. I know this was the last of this type of truck that was available in this package. How often do these type of deals come up?
It's not often. The last time we bought them, it was because the municipality had ordered, I want to say like six or eight of them, and then backed out of the deal. So they already had these vehicles, and they get scooped up quickly. That's the other thing.
Right.
So we're fortunate that, you know, based on the council's decision tonight, this vendor is holding this one for us. But if the answer was no, then they would have no problem selling it to someone else. But these, I mean, it is a 2023, but it's brand new. It's never had trash in it. So, but yeah, it doesn't come around like regularly where this type of vehicle is readily available.
Okay. For next budget cycle or maybe later in this year, do you anticipate we're going to need to purchase new side loaders? Like, if, are any of ours getting to the point where they are just done at the end of their useful life, like we're going to be in a position to need them?
So in the capital budget, that was approved for this year. And obviously, there's some years going forward. There was another one budgeted for next year.
Mm-hmm.
And sorry, for next year. And yeah, so there was one for this year, one for next year. But we are also saving $22,000 over what we asked for. We asked for $420,000, and this one is $398,000. So,
yeah. Just one question for my own knowledge and for knowledge of everyone else. Who keeps an eye on, like, when these deals come available? Do vendors contact the city, or is this just sort of out there that we stumble across them?
So it's a combination of both. You know, if we're in need of something, the division chief, the automotive chief, will look for, you know, whatever's out there. But this particular vendor is very familiar with our situation with our sanitation fleet. So they had reached out and said, we have this vehicle. If you want it, we'll hold it for you. And obviously we said, yes, we do. But we have to get permission first. So,
mm-hmm. Well, I anticipate my colleagues would feel the same way, that resounding support for this one. So commendment to you and your team for keeping an eye on this, because I think these, like the chairman said, these are necessary and essential to your function there. So that's all.
Thank you, Councilman. Christy, I just want to repeat what you had said as well, that you had budgeted $420,000 for this vehicle this year, and your bid is actually under $400,000. So good job on that. And also, I just want to recognize the fact that I think every one of your bids that are here this evening are on time. Seriously.
I try.
Thank you. Seriously. Okay. Any other questions from members of the committee? Councilman Muto.
Just to reemphasize what the other council folks have talked about, we are, as you know, we have a concern, probably lessened from what you've been talking about. Obviously, COVID saved our bacon. With that money, updating our assets and assets throughout the city.
Yes.
One of our concerns is asset and capital management. Looking forward, actually had a conversation a week ago with the mayor and with the chief on some detailed information to help the council. And one of those is on our asset management and looking at the useful life of our equipment so we're not hitting these spikes and troughs year after year that we're constantly maintaining and keeping an eye out for such equipment going forward. So in the future, in the very near future, you'll be hearing a few requests from our committee on an understanding of more of a longer term plan than more than 1 year at a time. So just also, okay. I would also like to commend your work, not just with the sanitation trucks, which we know is a vital part of the services we provide, but also, the last couple of times you've come before us, you've looked at alternative ways to save the city money with alternative options, such as the Zamboni for the skating rink, as well as looking at one of these one-offs going forward. So congratulations and thank you for keeping an eye on the budget for us.
Thank you.
That's all I have.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 3, 2026-093, found on page 11. Purchase 3 trucks with plow packages for meter service, found on page 11.
So again, on behalf of the Water Division, we are requesting to purchase 3 pickup truck utility body vehicles with plow packages in the amount of $277,816.78. So these vehicles, not only will they do meter service, which is a pretty regular thing, they will also be assigned other duties as needed, and as well as plowing in the winter.
So Christy, on these vehicles, I have a different viewpoint. How many miles on the 3 vehicles that you're looking to replace?
So we are looking to replace 3 cargo vans. One of them is out of service.
One of them is what?
Out of service. One of them is a 2011. It has 92,458 miles on it. And the other is a 2011 with 158,675 miles.
And describe these cargo vans.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Describe the cargo van, just like a regular Ford van.
It's an Econoline van.
Okay, an Econoline van. Very familiar with them. Used to use them. So one of them's out of commission, one of them's got 90,000, and one of them's got 150,000. And they're cargo vans. Some of the questioning that I was asking on your prior bid was to get a little bit of history. I cannot see the reasoning or the rationale of purchasing these 3 trucks, the size of the trucks, with plow packages for meter service. This makes no sense to me. The cargo van has plenty of load capacity, carrying capacity, has plenty of room inside it for whatever equipment you need for servicing a meter. These meters, they're not, we're not talking like, you know, an engine block or a transmission off of a 16-wheeler or 18-wheeler. We're talking about vehicles that are going to perform meter service. They go in, they take out a meter, put in a new meter, replace some plumbing. They have deduct meters that they have to install and so forth. I have not heard anything that is going to make me think that these three trucks are not overkill for what they are doing. And keep in mind, we just bought two new pickup trucks for the water department for new positions. The plow I don't get, because we don't have the Peterbilt in the meter service. We hear oftentimes when they're coming to us, the water department that is, and the water department's making the presentation, that we're changing more meters than ever. We're doing more deduct meters than ever. We have approved bids recently, not that far down the road, that would allow for the purchase of more meters. And they're busy all the time with doing these meters. And there's only so many people doing. So I'm not convinced that throwing a plow on this truck is going to have any useful benefit to the taxpayers, nor will these operators even have an opportunity or even a need to get out there and plow snow. And for $300,000, I think that we certainly could go out and subcontract snow plowing if the need becomes that great for snow plowing. I noticed one of your other bids, we'll talk about that after, you've actually have a pretty significant reduction on your request, which kudos to you for that. But that also signals to me that that's even more evidence that this thing about, well, we're going to have snow plows so they can go out and plow, makes this whole thing worth it. These vehicles, at an average of $90,000 per vehicle to go out and perform meter service, I can't support that. If the department, and Christy, understand that while I'm speaking with you, I'm not speaking to you. I know this isn't your department. I know this isn't your request, but you're the one that's at the podium. The job can be served just as well for, in my opinion, a lot less money by doing vehicles that are not overkill. And to my knowledge, I don't think anyone has done the shopping for these vehicles, has called Flood Ford, Tasker Ford, Belize, Liberty, whoever, to say, hey, what do you have for vehicles? What I see here, and you've heard me comment on it numerous times, is we're going to go along with the MPA. Well, I think going along with the MPA sometimes is maybe the more time-restricted way of doing it. I think it's perhaps the easier way of doing it, but I don't always think that it's in the best interest of the people who are paying the bills. So this is not anything that I'm going to be able to support. I would like to see the department reconsider this, to go back and get prices on vehicles that are more in line with what the job description is. I even wonder if there's not a problem based upon some recent history of a grievance being filed on someone who was plowing or doing a backhoe-y thing or something or other, if the drivers on those plows in the water department, if their agreements, their contract agreements, even allow them to do it. I don't know. I'm speculating. But at 270, almost $278,000 for three vehicles to do meter service that could easily be done in terms of load carrying capacity, equipment, et cetera, based upon my experience in the construction industry using the Econoline vans for 40 some years. They worked very well for carrying the equipment, the ladders, the tools, the stock, the nails, the inventory, the caulking, all in one of those vehicles. Worked fine. I think this is overkill and I can't support it.
So would it be all right if I tried to provide you with some information?
If you what, please?
If I tried to provide you with some information.
You mean
for the future? No, right now.
Right now? Sure.
Okay. So yes, it is a state MPA. These vehicles would be delivered in approximately 6 to 8 weeks to the city. Anything that we, particularly if we go out to bid, which the state has already done, which is why there's an MPA, and it's a volume purchase. If we go out to bid, we are looking at least a year, if not more, to get a build slot. For a municipality, it's not easy. We can't just go to any dealership and say, you know, oh, hey, you have a one-ton dump truck with, you know, with the dump body on it. I want to buy that. They would say, no, you can't. That's a retail sale. It's not for a municipal because we get better pricing. The reason that we're asking for these vehicles, and Jerry, our water division chief, can explain the meter service job to you, but as far as the plows go, we have... We experience, you know, in the hiring process that a lot of people no longer carry a CDL. So for them to, like, we could go out and buy, you know, six-wheel dump trucks, but we don't have anybody to drive them. So these vehicles would be multi-purpose for the department as a whole, whether it's snow plowing, or it's, you know, like helping out. The water department helps us out every time we have a weather event, whether it's something like happened last week, a snowstorm, hurricane. When it comes to that in public works, it's all hands on deck. Everybody works. So I just wanted to provide you with a little bit more insight as to why we're asking for these vehicles and why we're asking for them with a plow, because they are not going to be just specifically for the meter service. And as far as the scope of work, every job description in the city has at the end, they all say related duties as required. So that means that, yes, we can task water department employees to go out and plow if we need them to. These trucks don't require a CDL. So you can have a regular state of Rhode Island license to drive these vehicles. There's just a lot of layers to it for us as far as when we look at vehicle purchases. You know, we do the best that we can to make sure that we're getting what we need to run the department and make sure we can still provide the services, because there's two things that our residents want, and that's they want their trash picked up and they want their water to come out of the faucet. So that's why when we make these requests, it's not like we haven't done research. It's not like we haven't, you know, looked at other avenues, but we're in a little bit of a corner being a municipality where we can't just go to a lot and buy three vehicles. It's a different process.
Well, Christy, I think that, you know, and I hear this often that, well, you know, we can't go out for bid because we don't have time, or, you know, we need this now, et cetera, et cetera. Well, I've been hearing that for years, and there is time if it's done timely. And if it's not done timely, then you're right, there is no time. There are dealers all over the state, just in Rhode Island, that have plenty of these Econoline type vans sitting in the lots. And I'm sure that an RFP could have been put out a couple of months ago for these three vehicles. To say that, you know, we don't have these, you know, eight wheel or six wheel, whatever they are, dump trucks because we don't have drivers with CDLs, we're not talking about buying dump trucks. We're talking about buying vehicles that are indicative of the job that they're intended to do, which is provide a meter reader service, a meter service. The meter service certainly doesn't require 10-wheel dump trucks. DPW has 10-wheel dump trucks, I believe, or 8 wheels. How many wheels they have? They're a dump truck. This, in my opinion, is just a very heavy overreach of a vehicle that's required to do the job of meter service. And as Councilman Muto has already pointed out and spoken quite well, is here we have, we're in the first month of the new fiscal year. And there's a lot of things coming down the road that we don't have the crystal ball to look into or realize or anticipate. So to purchase not only these vehicles, there's other vehicles coming up too that I have the same feelings with, and I'm going to be having the same positions with. I think we need to look at this from, okay, so what do we need to do this job? What do we need to do to provide the service to the taxpayers, to the homeowners for meter service and providing them with the water they need? I don't think that these guys are going to be out there plowing snow. I don't think they're going to be out there regularly picking up brush. And if we have these infrequent storms like we just had the other night, the city can do just what they did, call out 15 other vendors to come over and help us pick up the debris. Because with those folks, we don't have any overhead on them. None. So that's where I am. Any questions from members of the, I'm sorry, do you want to speak? Please, go ahead.
Yes, Francis Gomez, purchasing agent. And this is just more informative when it comes to the MPA, piggybacking an MPA when it comes to vehicles. I have, I can't say which city or town, but I do have knowledge of another city going out to bid for maybe more vehicles than this on one. And then what ended up happening was there were three bidders. Two were disqualified. And the winning bidder was actually a vendor already under the MPA. And unfortunately, because they went out to bid, yes, the two other vendors disqualified because for whatever reason, maybe they didn't have, maybe let's just say a plow package, for example. Because they didn't piggyback the MPA, the city ended up paying at least $150,000 more than they would have if they piggybacked the MPA. Only reason why, and again, this is just informative, is because under the MPA, the vendor has a larger range of customers, let's say, versus going out to bid, which they're going to charge you more by going out to bid.
And thank you for that, Director. And, you know, while that may be the case in that instance, to me, that doesn't prevent us from going through the exercise to find out and to just say, okay, MPA, that's the best deal. I don't always think it is the best deal. I think going through the exercise to find out if it's the best deal is important. And it's important not necessarily every time, but sometimes. And in this case, almost $300,000 for three trucks to do meter service is, to me, it's just over the top, more than what is necessary by a long stretch. And one of these vans has 90 some thousand miles. We just heard Christy say the sanitation vehicles who get tons of beatings, they average 8 to 10 to 12 years and 200,000 miles. Now, I sit back and I say, so, okay, why am I going to want to replace a vehicle that's 98,000? And the answer shouldn't be, well, because this vehicle is just beat up and, you know, the engine's blown up and it burns oil, it does all this other stuff, because I know that's not the case because we have a maintenance department that does a good job taking care of these things. So I'm still not convinced.
Would you like the division chief to speak on what the water service technicians actually do?
I'm sorry?
Would you like the division chief to speak on what the meter service do?
Sure.
So this is Jerry Ouellette. He's our water division
chief.
Sure,
thank you.
All right, first time, nervous, so Jerry Willett.
Just put.
Jerry Willett, Water Chief.
Thank you. Welcome, Chief.
So the question that you have was why a utility body over a van, a car line van. Back when I started, 91, 94, we used vans, Econoline vans, and we found that you had to heavily modify them on the inside to hold your brass, hold your equipment. We actually put in trap doors underneath, and it just didn't work. Stuff was getting broken. These utility bodies, I actually asked to look into one of them the other day, what these guys carry. It's pretty standard. They need hand tools. They need electronic tools. They need pipe locators. They need the meters. Those cabinets on the outside of those trucks, they're pretty much chock full. And, you know, one of the things I kind of have a problem with that I'd just like to discuss a little bit is the term meter services. These trucks are first responder vehicles. If you have a problem, they're the ones that are going to be showing up at your house. If you're taking on water, these guys are the ones showing up. So they are the water department's first responders for homeowners as well as businesses. So yeah, the smaller residential meters are 5/8 meters. They don't weigh that much. The larger meters, you get up into, 2 and 3 inch meters. They've got some weight to them, and they're also worth some money. These are not things you want rattling around in the back of a van. Usually, in a utility body, there's a reason why every single water department that I'm aware of right now, especially with the service vehicles, that's what we call them, service vehicles. They're pretty much all utility bodies now. If you get the specialists, the pros to come in, off the top of my head, it's HydroTech. There's a few other ones, all utility bodies. A, because of the weight. B, because of what you can put in them. And they're secure.
Thank you for that, Director. But I think that an Econoline van will get to that house emergency just as quick as, you know, this pickup truck will with a plow. I know how much those vans can take because we loaded them, and I did it for well over 40 years. And to the defense of it, the only thing that I found we needed to do more often was brakes because of the weight that was in the truck. So I'm not convinced that a simple Econoline van isn't going to do the job that is necessary to provide meter service to our residents, as opposed to having to spend almost $300,000 on trucks with plows and heavy duty packages and all this other stuff. So that's it. Councilman, Chief, did you want to say something, or you want to hear from Councilman Napa first?
We'll hear from Councilman Napa first. Good evening, Bill Facente, Chief Staff to Mayor Picozzi. So Jerry Willett is the operational expert on the water department. He's been in the business for many, many years. You keep mentioning Econoline vans and going to a van. These vehicles are serving dual purposes. We would love to buy dump trucks, large dump trucks that, you know, operators can operate and drivers can drive. We can't get the drivers to drive them. So we're multi-purposing these vehicles, utility bodies with plow trucks. You mentioned hiring subcontractors. That's great. The amount of money you're saving in the first year on the purchase of the vehicle, you'll spend that in subcontractors. These will last 10, 12 years. The vans that we have now are 2011s. It's 15 years old. These vehicles take a beating, whether they have 90,000 miles on them or 12,000 miles. They take a beating. So they're like sanitation vehicles. They're high mileage, high use. And I would just ask that you allow the water department and the city to operate its department as it sees fit from the situational experts, and not just going by Econoline vans or box vans or panel vans, whatever you want to call them. They're requesting the ability to use these vehicles for two different purposes. As Jerry said, first responders, they respond to the storms. When the council people call and want the trees moved and everything else dug up and moved and plowed, these trucks will be used. Whether you think that or not, they will be used, not just for the water department. So that's all I have to say.
So does that mean those trucks will be offline for doing meter service when they're out there plowing snow or chasing tree branches or whatever?
As a priority, yes. If there's a water line that's broken in the house, mm-hmm. we'll prioritize that. But when there's a microburst or whatever happened on Thursday, that will take priority. These trucks will be prioritized and used throughout the entire city.
Mm-hmm. Chief, just because a department comes to the council and says, we want this, that doesn't necessarily mean that's what they have to have or that's what they need to do the job.
So that's what the department is asking for. That's what they need to do the job.
Well, obviously, over the last 14 or 15 years, they've done the job, and from my understanding, done it pretty well with the vans that are 14 or 15 years old. You just said they're 2011. That's 14 or 15 years. So I think those vans have worked very well for the last 15 years servicing the people.
We've also had operators that have retired and dump truck operators that have retired that we can't fill positions with. So we can't buy the dump trucks to have them dual roles.
Well,
so
pickup truck's not going to do the job of a dump truck either. Come on.
No, I'm not saying that, but a large plow truck that we'd like to buy, we can't get someone to drive it. So these will serve as replacements for CDL operators. We're having trouble filling CDL positions because people do not want to get a CDL. There are many restrictions on CDL licenses, drug tests, alcohol tests. So we're having trouble filling those positions. This will allow the city to operate in a manner that is efficient and it fits within our plan to operate the city.
Thank you, Chief. Councilman Napa.
I'm not sure who this question would be appropriate for, Chief, either you or maybe Director Earls or Christy. How many vehicles does the city utilize now during snowstorms that require a CDL?
Right now, we have maybe six-wheel dump trucks that we utilize. We have a few, you know, we have a couple from the 90s as well. We have not quite enough CDL drivers in the highway division to fill those seats. We also use our loaders and our backhoes, which you have to have an operator's license to operate.
So loaders and large machinery like that,
yeah,
these pickup trucks are not going to usurp those. I guess my question is more directed at if the intention of these vehicles is to allow us flexibility to have regularly licensed drivers use these in place of CDL drivers driving higher gross vehicle weight vehicles that would require a CDL. How many of the large gross vehicle weight vehicles do we anticipate being able to take out of service because we don't have a driver for them?
We're not going to take any out of service. We will fill the seats for the ones that for the people that have CDL. So everybody in the highway yard that has a CDL will be in a CDL vehicle. But we had three people retire that had a CDL and we can't fill their positions. So you have at least three trucks. Now, if we have a truck go down during a snowstorm, then whoever's truck that was, while it's in the garage, they'll jump in one maybe that's online if there's something available.
But so I understand the need here. I do, especially because the city is paying much less than the state for a CDL driver, so it's more attractive for those type of people to go elsewhere. So I understand the difficulty of getting CDL type drivers. My next question is, since 2011, since we've had these E250s, have we been providing adequate service relative to meter service?
Yes.
Okay.
Eric Earls, Public Works Director.
Thanks,
but I came up because I wanted to speak to the plowing operation. So there are 58 routes. So we've divided the city up, 58 routes. Ideally, we would put one truck in each of those routes. That hasn't happened in my tenure. right? We don't have that. And the idea that we can get outside vendors to assist with that is just not happening. They're not available either. The state pays more. The state calls them in earlier. The state pays longer hours. We lose a lot of our outside vendors to the state. So when we start plowing, we have a lot of trucks out there trying to do double duty, right? Chasing other routes. The more trucks like this that we have that we can put into routes, the more efficient that operation will be. And these people would absolutely be part of that operation. And I know, you know, again, what our Water Division Chief indicated about operationally, that's where we take our cues from. They know more about it than I do. They certainly know more about it than you guys do. So that's what we take our cues from. And I'm up here to say these would absolutely be a huge part of our snow removal operation. And I'm not talking about these three, the other four that we're going to talk about later, those also would. It's few things will get your phones ringing as poorly plowed roads. And you guys know that. Even if it doesn't happen that often. We hear it. You guys hear it. So the more vehicles we can put at that, the better off everyone's going to be. So that's a huge part of why these are the vehicles that they are.
Director, I don't think anyone disagrees that unplowed roads are going to get our phones ringing. But what also gets our phones ringing is large tax increases. So I think you need to reconcile that as well. One thing that stuck out to me was when we're looking at the seven vehicles over these two bid items, these utility bodies are coming in close to $90,000 a piece. The other pickup trucks for the road crews and inspectors are roughly $30,000 less per. Can we have the chief or someone speak to what is the necessity for that?
Well, that's
severe increase.
That's the utility body,
right? I just that's a massive uptick in cost to reconcile on my end. I think that's where this for me becomes problematic. The intention here is to use these vehicles for due purpose, then I think we can accomplish that with a lesser decked out vehicle. I mean, there's $45,000 or so in utility body. Is there an alternative to use something similar to the other pickup trucks that are part of the state bid rather than a $90,000 vehicle? I guess that is my question. I'd like someone to speak to.
Yeah, I thought that the Water Division Chief indicated that.
He indicated about all his bells and whistles that he wanted. Is there an alternative? He didn't speak to that.
Okay.
So we've worked out of pretty much every truck you can imagine, from the large site trucks to the vans. And for a department this size with this many services, with what we have to carry, you're only talking about six compartments on each side. Now think about where you'd put a toolbox. You got to carry a full complement of tools. Think about where you'd carry a pipe locator, an M-scope, hydrant diffuser, stuff like that, hydrant wrench, meters, your brass alone. The brass alone, you need at least one bin for that, one of those long ones over the wheel wells. Now you need an inverter. The inverter usually goes up front in one of those boxes. You need to carry safety equipment. You need, it's just the amount of weight and the disorder. I've seen vans. I've seen what they look like.
Well, I think the disorder in the van is that becomes down to an accountability and personnel issue. I come from a long line of master plumbers. My family is a family of plumbers. Mm-hmm. At a large commercial plumbing company in Providence. I learned how to sweat pipe when I was 9. I'm well-versed in what you need on a plumbing vehicle. So if your crews are operating a disorganized van, that seems like a crew issue. That's not a vehicle issue. My question, believe it or not, I'm actually trying to help you here. I'm giving you a platform to give us, is there an alternative? I understand what you have to carry and what the necessity is for size and space to accomplish what you need mm-hmm. to carry. Is there an alternative to the $45,000 upgrades to the vehicles to the 3,500? Is there an alternative to that makes this more affordable?
In my opinion, after the years I've seen what I've seen, no.